Amen. Amen. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. Let us get ourselves situated. Good morning to everybody who is joining us online via Facebook and YouTube. And for those who will watch this recording later, welcome to Taylor's Tabernacle. Amen. We are a Bible-based church located in West Philadelphia, where Jonathan E. Ford is our pastor. Amen? Amen. Welcome this morning, everybody. Hallelujah. If you're at home, get rid of all your distractions right now. Amen? If you're in the sanctuary, put your distractions down. Amen? Amen. This is what? Worship time. Amen? It's a word coming. Hallelujah. It's that time. Amen? Amen. I'm going to start us off with our scripture, and then we will go into prayer, and then we'll be followed by Sister Leah. Amen. Amen. Welcome to everybody coming in the door. Remain standing. We are going to read our scripture for this morning. It's going to be coming out of Psalms chapter 16, and I'm going to just read one verse. Amen. Psalms chapter 16. Amen. 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 I'm going to be reading verse 9. And the word of God states, "Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope." Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Thank you, O Lord. Hallelujah. That we can just rejoice in your presence. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. That our hope is grounded in you, Lord. In our relationship with you, Christ Jesus. That our hope is not contingent on money. That our hope is not contingent on a job. That our hope is not contingent on another human being. But instead, Lord, our hope is in you, Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Because, Lord, when we look back over our lives, for some of us have had the blessing of years. And we look back and we see that before we knew you, you knew us. Hallelujah. When we were going down the wrong path, you were still there to steer us the right way. Lord, as we look back and think about that could have been it. Oh, that could have gone a different way. Oh, I could have been in a worse situation. But you, Christ Jesus, were in control. We thank you, O Lord. We thank you for constantly providing your word, that your word is printed, that your word is on the internet, that your word is in audio books and readings, and we can get your word, and that your preached word is available every single Sunday here in the tabernacle. COVID could not stop the delivery of your word. Hallelujah. Thank you, O Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Wash us right now. Hallelujah. Clean us up. Hallelujah. Get our minds right. Hallelujah. Create in us a clean heart. Renew the right spirit in us. Clean us up right now, O Lord. That we would worship you with our whole heart. That we would not worship you in a fleshly way. But that we would glorify you through the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, anoint our pastor this morning. Bless his tongue that he would deliver the word that you want us to hear. prepare our hearts right now that they would not be stony, but would be soft and receptive to the word that you have for us. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us through another week. We thank you that the sicknesses we have dealt with, you still brought us here. Hallelujah. Or you still got us up this morning if we're in our homes. That we would have another opportunity to get in your presence. Come sit right next to us this morning, Christ Jesus. For there are more than two or three gathered in your name. Let us feel your presence and rejoice in it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. So we've had the scripture. We've had prayer. It's all about preparing the atmosphere, right, for the word that's coming. So now we're going to have further preparation as our sister Leah is going to sing. Amen, amen, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So the song is called Everlasting God, because we know that the Lord is our light. He is our strength. He is everything that we are in need of. The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? You can sing that with me. The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? I will wait on you. I will wait on you. I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Oh, the Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? I will wait on you. I will wait on you. I will trust in you. I will trust in you. I will remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord. I will remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord. Oh, the Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? I will wait on you. I will wait on you. I will trust in you. I will trust in you. I will remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord. I will remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord. I will remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord. I will remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord. We set our hope on you. We set our hope on your love. We set our hope on the one who is the everlasting God. He is the everlasting God. Oh, we set our hope on you. We set our hope on your love. We set our hope on the one who is the everlasting God. He is the everlasting God. Oh, we set our hope on you. We set our hope on your love. We set our hope on the one who is the everlasting God. He is the everlasting God. Oh, we set our hope on you. We set our hope on your love. We set our hope on the one who is the everlasting God. He is the everlasting God. I will remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord. Woo! I will remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord. Oh, I will remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Come on, if you're confident that you will see the salvation of the Lord. May not look like it, may not feel like it, but in my soul, I am confident in this. I will. See the salvation of the Lord. Spite of what my enemy does, spite of what my enemy says, I'm confident. Good God, help me. Help me, Holy Ghost. Yeah, I'm confident. I'm confident this Sunday that I will see the salvation. Woo! Oh, glory be to God. Yes, 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 yes. Come on, if you're confident, if you're sure about it. Oh my God, Woo! I know in whom I have believed. And he's able. He's able. Woo! You have your Bibles. Let's go to the 14th chapter of the Gospel of St. Mark, beginning at verse 32. Again, Mark chapter 14, 32. We'll add to the witness out of Hebrews, the second chapter, verse 18. Again, Mark 14, 32 and Hebrews 2, 18. Amen. Thank God for all of our baptism candidates for today. So I want to be timely. Thank God to my brother and friend, Pastor Rogers, allowing us to use his baptism pool once again. And so we want to be able to get down there on time so that we can return their sanctuary to them. Amen. If you're there, you'll see these words. He says, and then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. He said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. He took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. And then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch. He went a little further and he fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Verse 37, and then he came and found them sleeping. He said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? He said, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, he went away and prayed and spoke the same words. And he returned and he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy and they did not know what to answer him. Verse 41, and then he came the third time and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? He said, it is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise and let's be going. My betrayer is at hand. Lord Jesus. Here's the witness. Hebrews 2:18. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Amen. For in that he has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege that is ours today to be gathered here in this place, to be gathered among those that are of like precious faith, and to have read in our hearing the Word of God. And so our prayer this morning is that the Word of God would find good ground, that even as it is uttered and goes forth, that you would do the transformative work in our ground. That our ground would be changed from stony and hard and rocky to become fertile soil for the Word of God.
so that as we receive it gladly, then our lives would be changed for all eternity. Thank you for being our shepherd. Thank you for supplying our needs such that we shall never want. Cause us only to hunger for the word of God. Help us to only thirst for the spirit and presence of God. That one day we might be changed and become like Christ himself. This is our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. All of God's people say amen. Amen. Amen again. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. In the interest of time, I got to get down the road. And so I want to talk to you today. This is a familiar passage. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. But I want to look at it, and I want to point out four things about this particular passage. And it is recorded in all four Gospels, and each one of them gives us another angle of vision on it. But today we're looking at Mark's account of it. And what I want to lift up from Mark's account is this. First, I want to describe what is Gethsemane. Okay? From there, I want to inform you that all believers must encounter Gethsemane. Okay? Then I want to provide you with a guide, if you will, for surviving Gethsemane. And then last and finally, I want to tell you there's great joy in Gethsemane. Amen? What is Gethsemane? Believers, we must all encounter Gethsemane. I'm going to give you a toolkit, if you will, for surviving Gethsemane. And then last, inform your faith that there is great joy in Gethsemane. The word Gethsemane in Hebrew means olive or oil press. Okay? Olive or oil press. The Garden of Gethsemane was situated on the Mount of Olives just east of Jerusalem, just across the Kidron Valley and opposite the Temple compound. From its name, scholars have concluded that the garden was situated in an olive grove that contained an oil press on the Mount of Olives. Are you with me? It was located just east of Jerusalem, across the Kidron Valley, opposite the Temple Mount. I mean that from the Mount of Olives, you could see the temple complex. And it was concluded that the garden was situated in an olive grove, an olive gathering that contained an olive press. Okay? So you got the Mount of Olives, right? And on the entire mountainside of the Mount of Olives, there was a unique place, right, that had a cluster, a gathering of olive trees. And in the midst of the olive trees, someone had built an olive press. Makes sense, right? Because there were all these olive trees, right? And so you need, in ancient Israel, heavy stone slabs were lowered onto olives that had already been crushed in an olive crusher. And this is the kind of work, if you go back in history into the life of Samson, this is the kind of work that Samson did after he was betrayed by Delilah, had his eyes gouged out, and was taken captive by the Philistines. He was chained to an olive press and used as a workhorse to produce olive oil. Okay? So when you read that scene, right in the Old Testament, they talk about Samson, how the Philistines made sport of him, right? By chaining the mighty man of God. This is what they chained him to, an olive press. And his job was to just walk around and like a mule and lower those stone slabs on the olives and crush them to produce pure olive oil. Right? That's how you get your olive oil. In order for you to have the olive oil that we use for anointing, that we use for many other medicinal purposes, the olives must be crushed. Are you with me? Now, I don't have any olives, and when I came up with this idea, it was very early this morning. Jermaine doesn't have any olives in the kitchen, but this is the best I could do so that you can get this, right? So just imagine if these were olives. It's not, it's a lemon, but hopefully it'll work for our example. Jermaine's got this thing, you put them in here, right? And to get the juice out, you gotta do what? Right? You gotta press this thing, look, see that juice coming out? But it only comes out because I'm doing what? I'm pressing it and I'm crushing the lemon. Right? And after I crush it, I get what? What I really want. Right? And let me stop before Lillian get on it. That's enough. So hopefully that works for you. Again, I didn't have any olives, so I used the lemon. But I want you to say, I drink tea every morning. Every morning I put lemon in my tea. Do it every morning without fail. And every morning, but I don't, Jermaine uses this, I just use my hand and just squeeze it and get the lemon juice. What I want is the lemon juice. But the only way I can get it is I gotta do what? I have to crush the lemon. Right? If you're with me in the spirit, you're already down the road. You got the sermon, you're down the road. Right? I told you I want to start by describing what is Gethsemane. Gethsemane is the place of pressing. That's what it is. Gethsemane is the place where the oil or the olive press resides. I gave you my second point. As believers, we all must go to and through Gethsemane. Right? If you got it, say, I got it. It's not hard this morning. I'm coming straight down the middle. I'm right down the middle of the road. Look what the text said. The text said in verse, then he came to a place. Now, when we left him, they just had what? They just had Passover. Right? After Passover, they said what? They sung a hymn. And after they sung a hymn, they went where? He said they all went where? To the Mount of Olives. Right? So all of them are at the Mount of Olives, the foot of the Mount. Now he takes the 11 and says, now we are going to go in the Mount of Olives to the place called Gethsemane. And I want you to know all 11 go. It's just that he takes Peter, James, and John and goes a little further in Gethsemane. But all 11 are in Gethsemane. All 11 disciples go to Gethsemane. Let me help you. All disciples of Jesus Christ must go to Gethsemane. And you know what happens at Gethsemane. Are you with me? If you got it, say, I got it. We'll see. We'll see. So Gethsemane, the place of pressing, the place of crushing. And I know it was crushing because look what Jesus said. It came He said, sit here. He took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. And then look what he said. He said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. To help you, this is more than a panic attack. Jesus is on the verge of pushing himself into death with nobody touching him. Are you reading this text? What is the number one issue I tell folks in Bible study? The number one issue that all Bible study students have. You know, maybe y'all don't go to Bible study. I don't. The number one issue that all Bible study students have is what? You read your Bible what? Too fast. You gotta slow. It's only when you slow down and read can you get the sense of what's happening in the Word of God. We just had Passover. Wonderful time. Family time. We're all together. We're all celebrating, right? Have communion. Break the bread. Drink. Now we're singing hymns. A good night. A good time. Now we go to the Mount of Olives. Familiar place. Jesus has preached a ton of sermons here. When we get there, instead of stopping where we normally stop, he makes us go to a place called Gethsemane. He leaves us here. He takes the three with him. And Jesus said, I feel like I'm going to die. This is what the text is saying. He is vexed above measure because he is in Gethsemane. Now, before this little exercise, you may not have known what Gethsemane was, but Jesus did. He knew where he was going when he took them a little further. He was in the place of pressing. Are you with me? Help me preach. Just turn to your neighbor and just tell him, every believer goes through Gethsemane. You do not get a get out of jail free card on Gethsemane. This is not Monopoly. You can't roll and spin your way out of it. If you name the name of Jesus Christ, somewhere in your Christian journey, you will find yourself in Gethsemane. What makes Gethsemane Gethsemane? I gave you this because it's the oil. It crushes you, right? So that we can get the real oil. But here's the thing I want you to get. Familiar text, we know it. But then again, if we read it slow, we find out we don't know it. Look at what Jesus says. He said he went a little further and he prayed. If it were possible, he said, Father, let this hour pass. He says, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. This is what makes Gethsemane, Gethsemane. It's not the crushing. What makes Gethsemane, Gethsemane, is the cup. Stay with me. What makes Gethsemane, what makes Jesus prematurely die is not the oil press. He just told you it was the cup. He didn't pray to the Father, don't press me. That's not what he said. He said, I can handle the press. What I'm not sure about You got your communion cups? This is where I got to do my work this morning. Because when we see the cup, especially in this passage, our mind immediately goes back to the cup of what? The Passover, communion. Right? We celebrate communion every first. And what do we know about that cup? That cup, the Bible says what? He took bread. He blessed it and he broke it. He gave all disciples pieces of what? The same bread. The Bible says in like manner, he also took the cup of thanksgiving. And he said, this represents the new agreement between you and God. This is the sign, the symbol of my blood. The Bible said he blessed it and he gave to each one of them, get this, and they all drank from the what? The same. The communion cup. We love it because we know what's in it. Hold up your cup. What's in my cup is what? In your cup. What's in your cup is in her cup. What's in your guy's cup? That's in his. We're all at communion. We drink from the same cup. The blood of Jesus Christ. All right? This is where it gets tight. But in Gethsemane, I wish I had my real church. That's the sermon right there. In Gethsemane, you and I drink from our own cup. Did I lose my church this Sunday? Communion, Passover, we drink from what? Same cup, same blood. Right? Same cup, same blood. I love drinking stuff when I know what it is. But what do you do when someone gives you a cup in the place of pressing? Here it is. What is the cup? Right? That's my job as a pastor. I gotta show, what is the cup? This cup, not the Passover cup, not the this cup, the one he prayed about. This cup was the cup of God's divine wrath, referred to in the Old Testament, Psalms, Isaiah, Jeremiah. This was the cup that had long been Christ was to endure. This is the cup. The fury of God over sin, Satan, the power of death, and the guilt of iniquity. That's what was in his cup. And might I tell you, that's why he prayed. It had to be something. You don't understand who we're talking about. Look at somebody tell, we're talking about Jesus. Jesus, who had authority over the demonic world. Jesus, who could walk on water. Jesus, who could hit. Jesus, who could raise Lazarus from the dead, started crying in Gethsemane. He had to drink his own cup. That cup. Every believer has a cup. You got a cup? I got a cup. So what is the cup? We know what Jesus' cup was, his Father's divine wrath. What's your cup? Here it is. I'm going to tell you exactly what it is. Your cup, my cup, is the one thing we don't ever talk about. That's what it is. We never talk about it. It frightens us so bad. Check me. We don't even pray about it. For fear, if we talk about it too much, even in prayer, your one thing, your wife don't know what it is. And I'll place money on that. I'm a man. We barely talk at all. But when we do talk, we're very selective. There's some stuff you ain't getting out of us. Women, on the other hand, you talk all the time. But even in your verboseness of speaking, you never talk about. Every Christian has a kryptonite in their life. I know you're a man of God, and I know you're a woman of faith, but every man and every woman of God has their own kryptonite. That's your cup. And here it is. The cup is the one thing that threatens to take you out. Listen. You guys knew what was in my cup. Not only would I not be your pastor, you wouldn't even let me walk your dog if you knew what was in my cup. This is how serious it is. This is no plaything. The thing I'm talking about that is in my cup and in your cup, it is the one God. Lord, I don't care what. Don't let them find out about that. If they find out about that, Sister Margaret, it's over. I need a real church to preach this in. Y'all live a life with no secrets. I got some stuff. I couldn't tell Jermaine if I wanted to tell. That one thing, here it is. Here it is. I told Sister Lynn, I need a cup. And I said, whatever you do, don't make the cup clear. Don't bring me no glass cup. No. I said, I need, get the matriarch's old communion cups. She went and gave me this fancy cup, so we got to work with it. Why didn't I want a clear cup? It took y'all long enough to come to church. Good. Look at me. I'm up here sweating, about to fall out. Y'all could have said that 20 minutes ago. The thing that is in your cup, no one knows about it except you and God. This cup, we all know about it because it's clear. Because it's what? It's the same drink. We all know what we're drinking. But this cup, Lord, I thank you that it's not clear. Lord, I thank you that it's not a glass where the world could see. But in my cup, there's only two people that knows what's in there. That's me. That's why when he prayed, he didn't pray to Peter, James. He prayed, when he prayed, he said, Abba! You're the only one who knows. I can prove God's the only one who knows. The Bible said he came back to Peter, James, and John, and they were what?
Anybody know why they were sleeping? They had no idea what Jesus was going through. They had just eaten the Passover. A little itis had set in. They had just sang some songs. They were feeling good. They go to the Mount of Olives, familiar place. Brothers don't talk, and we often go to sleep after we eat. Jesus was on the verge of mental death. And the boys were laying in the garden like this. I'm not mad at them. I had to study it out. I'm not mad at them because there was no way for them to know what was in his cup. Couldn't know. The only people who know what's in your cup is you and God. Your pastor can't help you with it. Your prayer partner can't pray you out of it. The only person that can help you with what's in your cup is God. Stop getting mad at Peter. Stop getting mad at James and John. They can't help you. And oh, by the way, they have their own. It is in Gethsemane that the believer comes face to face with their own cup. The only thing I can tell you about the cup is that it's different for everybody. What's in my cup is not in your cup. What's in your cup is not in her cup. That's why you can't help. There's nothing. Oh, yeah, I wouldn't. No, you didn't. Oh, I remember when I was in that, you weren't in this situation. You were in a situation, but it wasn't like this. So they can't help you. Here it is. Abba, Father, take this cup away from the cup. Look at this. The cup you assigned to me. I told you in the Betrayer Caesar series, God chooses your betrayer. God chooses your cup. Stop hating on the devil. You ain't got to hate on the devil. God chose that cup for you. That's why Jesus prayed to the Father. If it be your will. Here it is. Let me work this cup. So it's whatever God has assigned to you. Take this cup away. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Here it is. It wasn't the pressure or the crushing that was killing Jesus. What was killing Jesus is the same thing that's killing you. Here it is. It is the temptation to quit on God's will for your life. That's what it is. And your cup is only a test. That's all it is. Doesn't matter what it is. That's why God said none of y'all need to know. The only thing you need to know, it is the test that will determine once and for all, will it be your will or mine?
That's what the cup does. The cup is the dividing line between boys and men. Boys want what? Their will. But a real man has to suck it up. Say, it's not for my will, but for thy will, I'll do it. I don't want to do it. I don't like how it's going to feel when I do it. But if that's your cup for me, he said, I'll drink it. That's what the cup, that's all the cup is. Will you choose your will or his? That's it. Gethsemane, the place of pressing, the place of crushing. Every believer has to go through what? Gethsemane. If you have not been to Gethsemane yet, Lord help me, keep living. You can't get to glory without going through Gethsemane. People always look at the cross, the cross, the cross. You know what I've learned? The hard part about money is not the money. The hard part about the money is making a decision about what to do with the money. Do I got any witnesses? Once you make that decision, I mean, you can write the check. You can, you can do it while you're in the bathroom. It don't even matter anymore. Because the actual moving of the money is not the big deal. It was last weekend when I stayed up all night trying to get into work where I made a decision. I said, this is what we're going to do with the money. So many times I make a decision on the money. Once I'm finished, I say, Jermaine, you write the check. Don't matter no more to me. Why? I already did the hard part. The hard part was making the, once you make the decision, moving the money is easy. A lot of people look at, oh, the cross, the cross, the cross. You know what the cross is? The cross is the reality of the cup. It was everything he experienced on the cross, he experienced in the cup. Well, I just told you what the cross was. The fury, God's wrath for sin, Satan, iniquity. That's why he said, why have thou forsaken me? No, you're not drinking the cup anymore. Now I'm pouring it out on you. The cross is easy compared to the cup. If you can make the decision to do God's will, then doing it becomes easy. Oh, Pastor, I'm going through. Pastor, I'm having the hardest time. Pastor, pray for you. You don't need me to pray for you. You need to grow up and make a decision. Is it going to be his will or yours? That's what's causing you to go through. You haven't made a decision. You have once again delayed the cup. The cup is there. You walk around it. You walk past it with your eyes closed, act like it's not there. I don't see no cup. I just see Jesus. The cup is right there. But because we love the pleasures and praises of men more than of God, we what? We ignore it. We pray about what? Every anything else. What's in that cup? Until you stop, make a decision about what's in your cup. Let me help you. Leave other folks' cup alone. I already told you, you don't know what's in it. Nor do you know what's involved to drink it. How do I know that? You don't drink your cup. How are you going to help someone else with their cup? Jesus said, you know what, boys? He said, I'm getting ready to get out of here. This is what you need to be able to survive Gethsemane. He gave them three things. Down at 37, here it is, and I'm finished. We gotta get folks in the water. He came and found them sleeping. He said to Peter, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. There it is. That's the cup. It's temptation. What's in it doesn't matter. What matters is your temptation to either have it or avoid it. Here it is. It's a temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The first thing you need to do to survive Gethsemane is you gotta wake up. Right? Look at somebody telling you, wake up. Right? Leave that alone. You gotta wake up. This generation, more than any other generation I've ever seen, known, or read about, is literally sleepwalking through life. Don't know whether they're coming, going. Don't know whether it's Sunday or Monday. Don't know whether it's up or down. Why? Because the enemy, the prince and ruler of this age and era, has lulled them and the church to sleep. There was a time, at least in my lifetime, little boy, somebody in the church had a problem. Pastor Taylor would come get us. And instead of going down to the church Friday night for prayer and Bible study, we would go to that member's house. We would clean. We would cook. I would cut the grass with a non-gas powered motor. It's what we did. And after we did all of that, then we would pray for them in their own house. Here it is. If I called you Thursday and say, hey, I want you to meet me over at so-and-so's house tomorrow, we got to clean their house and cook dinner for them. You see how many people in this front row? That's how many of you would respond to that request. I guarantee it. We have been lulled into a life of convenience and comfortability. As long as it doesn't cost me anything, as long as I don't have to give anything, as long as I don't have to go anywhere, sign me up, Jesus. But if I have to interrupt my weekend plans, if I have to take this chicken I just got on sale and give it to another family while my family goes hungry, I won't do it. That's too much, Jesus. That's what we used to do. I'd be like, Pastor, why? Like, I ain't caring. Why are we getting on Lincoln Drive going? See, we ain't going to the church. Where are we going? We're on the Sister Mordecai's house. Husband just died. No money for a funeral. We cooking. We cleaning all weekend long. Because we had to clean our house first. Then we had to come back on Saturday, clean it again for her family to come up. Nothing like that would happen in church today. Nothing. Nothing. Wouldn't even come close to it. Why? Because the enemy has what? Lulled us to sleep. All of us sleepwalking. And it's not just this generation. It's past generations because what? We've fallen under what? The same gas. The enemy has lulled us to sleep. And that is one sure sign you are going to fail at Gethsemane. Every time he came back, he found them not one time, not three. Three strikes, you're out, man. Every time. Sleep. If you're going to survive Gethsemane, the first thing you got to do is wake up. Help me preach it. Tell somebody and say, you got to wake up, man. And after you wake up, the next thing you got to do is watch. That word watch, I got it in my notes. Here it is. Be alert and on guard. It's not a matter of simply being awake, but you got to be awake. You got to be alert. And you gotta be on, the Bible says put on the whole armor. Why put on the armor if you're not gonna fight? Leave that stuff in the closet. But he said put on the whole armor. What? Why? The devil's coming with an attack. When? I don't know when. I don't know where, but what? I'm alert. I got my shield of faith. I got my helmet of power. I'm ready. Are you alert and ready spiritually? Wake up, watch, and pray. I'm going to give you this on prayer. And by prayer, what he's referring to is spiritual discernment. 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Get this. For they are foolishness to him. The reason I can never get any of you to go help clean a house with me, because you would look at it and think that's what? Stupid. That's, why are we going to go help them clean their house? Let them clean what? Their own house. What? Spiritual things to you are foolishness. You don't see God at work. You have no discernment that the hand of God is at work. So you look at it and call it foolishness. This is in your Bible. I'm not making this stuff up. For they are foolishness under neither. This is why I can't yell at you. This is why he didn't yell at Peter, James, and John. Look what he says. Neither can they know them. He said, I can't get mad at you for knowing what's in my cup. No way you can know. I ain't got to beat you up. You can't know. That's why after the third time, he said, well, that's enough. Me praying more is not going to help you. You need spiritual discernment. But look how he closes it out. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Neither can, because, here it is, they are spiritually discerned. That's why we pray. Not to have your wish list answered. We pray so that we can be awake. We pray so that we can be alert and on guard. And we pray so that we can be spiritually discerned. To be able to sense what the will of God is. I'm telling you, that's the only way you're going to survive Gethsemane. It's the only way. It's in your text. He gave it to you. I'm not making it. This is in your Bible. He gave it to you. Just like he gave to the disciples. He said, here it is. I'm leaving. 40 days, I'm up and I'm out. If you're going to move the church forward from here, you're going to have to learn how to survive Gethsemane. Here it is. I'm finished. If I take this cup, sleeping, had temptation. Here it is, weak. Here it is, return. Here it is. This is it. This is it. So now you got that one. I'm going to close on this. I'm done. I'm finished right here. Let me clear it. I got in. Let me close by saying there's what? Great joy in Gethsemane. Pastor, either you schizophrenic or you just crazy. It's the place of crushing. It's the place of the cup. My one secret sin that, and yet you're going to tell, I don't get any help with my cup, but yet you're going to tell me there's great joy in Gethsemane. Here it is. Here it is. The Bible says, but for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. See, when you understand that you are doing God's will, when you understand that you are doing what Christ himself has already done, you begin to realize there is great joy in Gethsemane. Because just like I've got to drink my cup in like manner, so Christ drank his own cup. The Hebrew writer says we have a high priest who can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities, tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. You can't drink, but God, he'll strengthen you. You can handle, but Christ is able. He says, in weakness, his strength is made perfect. When you finally make a decision to drink, you tell God, not my will, but your will be done. Listen, he helps you to drink it to the last drop. He shows you how. He doesn't take the cup out of your hand. When I was young, my mom would put honey in stuff. Black draw and all this other crazy stuff they used to make us take when we were young. And it tasted horrible. Sometimes she put a little lemon in it. Sometimes she put a little honey in it. But she never took the cup away. But she did show me how. Because it was only by drinking that I got there. And because Christ has already drunk in his cup, he is the only one qualified to tell us how to drink our cup. He says you drink it by total surrender. As long as there's anything in you resisting, he said you'll never drink it. You'll do what my kids do.
Pray to nobody else. Don't pray for nothing else. Your cup comes. Pray, Abba Father. If God helps his son to drink the cup,
how much more would he with yours? Shall we all stand? Lord, thank you, Jesus. The early part of my Christian walk, everything everybody told me was about the cross. The cross, the cross, the cross. Must Jesus bear the cross? No, there's a cross for you. And it's only after I studied this text that I realized it's not the cross. Jesus defeated the cross where? In the garden. That's where he got the victory. Everybody, all the cross, the thorns, the spear, and all you see is the outside, the external of what had already taken place inwardly. He defeated Satan in the garden. The cross, that's for you. That's for the world. That wasn't for him. It was in the garden where he drank that cup. It's going to be in the Garden of Gethsemane where you'll have to drink your cup. All I want to tell you with this whole message is that there's joy. Don't think that the cup is going to kill you. That's the trick of the enemy. The enemy wants to tell me, if you do that for God, it's a wrap. If you give that to the church, what are you going to have left? If you go down there on Saturday, who's going to pay you that overtime you missed? That's what the enemy does. He's what? He's tempting you. It's in the text. You read it. Temptation. That's what the cup is. But all of us are going to have to make a decision. What is it going to be? Either I'm going to serve God or I'm going to serve my own flesh. That's the question that awaits every believer in Gethsemane. How will you answer? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed and holy is thy name. Here's our prayer request, Lord. We've got one request. Here it is. Let your will be done in earth, in this earthen vessel, as it is in heaven. That's our only request. That's our only heart's desire. That your will be done in earth, even as it's done in heaven. Father, thank you for the believing congregation. Thank you for this message of power, hope, and joy. My prayer for them is that you would stand up strong in their life and in their moment of decision. Stand, go with them to the garden. Be with them every moment in Gethsemane. By faith. By faith. Cause them to choose God's will over our own. This is our prayer. This is our heart's desire. We pray in Jesus' name. Lord, bring it to pass. Come on, if that's your prayer, that's your heart's desire. Come on and give God your best praise.
That's what you want. That's what you need. Come on, give him your best. Your best. Your best. Give God your best. Behold, I come in the volume of the book to do thy will. Oh Lord, it is written up. Woo! Thy will, thy will, thy will, thy will. Let your will be done in my...
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that word. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. 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 Now, for those of you that are in the sanctuary, I have to do this also for those of you that are online. If there is anyone who seeks salvation, you can't even really see anything about a cup until you acknowledge who the Lord is. Amen? Amen. 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 You have to understand that to be saved, what? You have to confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. And believe where? In your heart that God hath raised him from the dead. That requires us to acknowledge first that we are sinners, born in sin, meaning born in our flesh to be disobedient to the will of God. And it's that disobedience that we got to deal with that cup. Amen. So we say, Lord, save me. I acknowledge who you are and the sacrifice you made for my very soul. Amen. 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 If you are seeking salvation, come right up. We will pray for you and pray with you and give you the sinner's prayer. And if you are at home, again, confess and believe. Amen. 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 Was that a good word? Made you think, didn't it? Now think about that. God prepared that for us. And when he prepares a word and you sit there and you meditate over it, that's how you know he's talking to you. Because he prepared that word for you. Amen? Amen. Now with that, I'm going to transition. Everybody ready? Can I get a drum roll or is the drums packed up? Here's a quick drum roll. Can I get one? Nope, too late. Brrrow! It's offering time. Amen. 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 I got the beautiful prices up here in the front row. They're going to do our offering and do our announcements. I'm going to call up the mother-daughter team. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Here's your paperwork right there. Amen.
Good morning to the Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. At this time, we will gather to worship through giving. This morning, you may give through 105 ways, including text to give, online giving through our website, Venmo, or also by using the U.S. Postal Mail. To give by text message, text the code Taylor61 to the phone number 73256, and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, please go to TaylorTabernacle.com giving and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, Post Office Box 6309, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania 19139. Venmo at Taylor Tabernacle 36309. For those gathered with us in the sanctuary today, you will find two offering baskets next to the side ramp door. One of your tithes and offerings, and one for the preacher. Please place your sealed envelopes in the basket as you exit the sanctuary. Pastor via Cash App or Venmo, or Cash App Pastor Jonathan Ford.
Good morning, church. We have a couple of special announcements. First, I'm going to have our Deacon Khalil come up to talk about our Day of Joy.
Morning, church. You guys know what Saturday is? The Day of Joy. It's a very special day. I've been telling you guys this for like 3 weeks. I hope you all come out. It's going to be beautiful. What time does it start? 12 o'clock on the dot. On the dot, 12 o'clock, I will be up here doing the opening prayer. And at 12:05, we will have the first singer up here singing. And I hope that you all are here on time so that we can worship God in a great fashion. Amen. Amen. It starts at 12 on the dot. If you get here at 12:30, you're only going to get about a half an hour. All right. I know it's a free event, but that don't mean you got to be late. Amen. Amen. Again, it's free. We're going to have a great time. Unfortunately, the rapper's not going to be able to come out with us. They had a conflict with work. I'm hoping that they can still make it out. It was, he actually can rap and I love gospel rap. But the three praise and worship leaders are still good to go. We're going to have praise dancers. It's going to be awesome. And if you just like to just come out and worship God, and that's the event to be at, it's not going to be an event where you just sit down and look at them sing. It's going to be an event where you get on your feet and close your eyes and just imagine you and yourself with God and sing. Amen. Amen.
Well, PM, not CP time. Okay. Okay. For announcements. So also, next Sunday is our back to school Sunday. I am looking forward to September 5th. That's when Kennedy goes back to school. I have the day off. Ooh, I'm excited. Oh, so anyway, so we have our back to school. And our Celeste Scholarship Fund recipients. We are also going to have a barbecue immediately after service, and we will be giving out our school supplies. We have some book bags and some other items that we can give out to the kids. So that's what's going on for next Sunday. Every first Sunday, we gather at 8:30 a.m. in person corporate prayer, followed by our morning worship at 10 a.m. Wednesday nights, prayer and Bible study at 7 p.m. via Google Meets. We have our Sunday school from 8:30 to 9 a.m. via Google Meets every second, third, and fourth, and fifth Sunday. Wiley, please remember the pastor's Wiley challenge. Also, September 21st is our farmers market, and we're going to have it over at Bible Union in their parking lot, and it's going to be from 12 to 4. So we are still accepting vendor applications, so if you have any vendors that you know of, please see me, and I can email the vendor forms out. And today we are having our baptism at 1 p.m. At 1 p.m. Oh, 12 p.m. 12 p.m. Sorry, that's 1 p.m. right here. And that is it for our announcement. Oh, also, I'm sorry. Celeste Scholarship applications are due today at 11:59. You have until 11:59 to get in your applications. Make sure you email them to info@TaylorTabernacle. If you are having any problems, please let either myself or Sister Kim know. You can email them directly to us if you have our email address. And that's all I have for right now. Thank you.
Amen. Just one quick thing with the baptism candidates. Come up here in the front row, right? The service is over. It's going to toss me 1 minute. Make sure everything's set before we head down. Amen? Amen. Is it coming out? Or... All right, if we could all stand.
Thanks once again for being here today. Thanks once again for being a faithful audience. Looking forward to 30 minutes from now. We're going to be down the street at 12 o'clock, Christ of Calvary Church. They're once again allowing us to use their baptismal pool. We want to get in by 12. We want to be out by 1 so that they can have their space back and then we can get home. They tell me there's a weather pattern coming in. So again, let's just, I know we got some stuff we got to do to get ready, but let's do it. Let's go down to do one of the great things in the Christian faith. Is to add others to the body of Christ through the ritual of water baptism. So grateful for our candidates. Shall we look to the Lord? Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege that has been ours today to gather and huddle around the word of God, to hear your voice speak not only in our ears, but in our hearts as well. Thank you for our baptism candidates. We pray that this outward sign would be a work of reality that has already been done inwardly down in the cellar of their soul. Bless them, their families, all those connected to them. This is our prayer, and we ask it in Jesus' name. All of God's people say amen. Amen. Amen again. God bless you, Taylor.